Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. Sure. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. You may know me as the best-selling author of The Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Gluckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute. And this is Sell or Die, real-world sales talk. No bullshit, no tricks, just how to make sales, whether you're in Las Vegas or London.
Or, doesn't matter, or Latrobe, Pennsylvania. We're interviewing the best minds on selling and personal development and customer service, and we're doing it live. Why do we do it live? Because you make sales live, in the moment. There's no pre-taping your sales presentation.
We're taking your sales questions. You can send them to us. Just tweet us at Gittimer or at Jen in a New York Minute. Or maybe you don't tweet yet and you want to email your question and sponsor our show. You can email questions and inquiries to sellordie@gittimer.com.
Or you can just send us a big check. To Jeffrey
we accept those two.
One T in Gittimer.
I'll split it with you.
So now, let's welcome our amazing producer who writes his own adjective introduction.
I love that.
The man behind the glass, Doug Branson. Hey, Doug.
That's the advantage to being the writer and the producer.
Actually, yeah. He wrote wonderful producer.
I know,
and
but
you changed it.
I ad-libbed. Right.
That's the disadvantage of
he's
not being
the wonderful
talent.
And amazing.
Yeah. Well, hello, Jeffrey. Hello, Jennifer. A reminder to our listeners, you can listen to us live on Wednesdays at blogtalkradio.com/sellordie. And make sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. Just search Sell or Die. And while you're there, leave us a 5-star review. Jeffrey, Jennifer, what's going on in your sales world?
We are fresh back from Hilton Head, where mm-hmm. we had all kinds of great service. And one of our featured things today is how well people can serve and how poor people can serve. Poorly people can serve. And it was just an amazing weekend. We rode in the hurricane and we ended up in the sunshine.
And we arrived to a beautiful rainbow.
A rainbow in the middle. Yep. And
can't make that up if you tried.
No, you can't. And we had our amazing daughter, Gabrielle, with us. And it was just a great time because the people were great. The quality of the place was great. The service was great. Coming up, we're going to serve up a great show because it's all about customer service. My good friend and radio and business legend, the great H.A. Thompson, is stopping by to give us some revolutionary customer service tips. And if he screws this up, he will no longer be my friend.
Plus, we're introducing a new segment into the show. It's called Your Weekly Sales Agenda. We're helping you pencil in time that will double your sales.
Ooh. So let's get to it. It's time to sell or die. Before we get into the show, I want to tell you about our friends at Death Wish Coffee. Now, I don't have the Death Wish Coffee mug with me today, but I do have the Death Wish coffee inside it. It's addictive. It is the world's strongest coffee. It's made from a secret formula, SpongeBob, made from the strongest possible combination of perfectly roasted beans.
They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee. We drink it in the studio when we do the show.
Exactly.
So go get your first bag of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
It's not like one of those dime bag things you have to pay like $20, but it is
it's so worth it. Speaking of, I'm going to have a sip.
Now, today's show is all about customer service. Everybody's had a great customer service experience, and you remember it, and you tell other people. And everybody's had a horrible customer service experience that you probably remember 10 times worse. So we're going to start by sharing our best and worst. So let's start with our best, Jen. What's your best customer service experience? What's the best thing that's ever happened to you in customer service?
I've had some really amazing, I've been fortunate to have some really amazing customer service experiences. And most recently, we were doing a seminar, you were doing a seminar at the Ritz, and the staff there was just so unbelievable. They did things like, if you asked where the bathroom is, they don't just say, oh, down the hall, to the right, then turn left.
They say, I'll go with you.
They walk you there.
Right.
Literally.
And they don't go in with you, though,
well,
right?
No, they don't go in with you.
That's good.
That I know of. They didn't go in with me. But I think if they could, they would. Like, that's how much they want to serve.
So for me, I was doing a seminar at the Marriott Hotel in... I was doing a seminar at the Marriott Hotel. The Marriott
Somewhere.
Hotel. No, I'll tell you exactly where it was.
Okay.
It was in Palm Springs. Actually, Palm Desert. And everybody in the hotel, every service person in the hotel walked by and looked you in the eye mm-hmm. and said hello to you. And like, I'm in hotels 250 nights a year sometimes. They don't even look at you. So this place, they stop and they look you in the eye. So I said to my meeting planner, I said, have you noticed that everybody in this hotel actually says hello to you? And she goes, oh, yeah, we noticed. This is our fourth year here. And what she's saying is that they spend somewhere between $500,000 and $1 million a year on their annual event. They've spent $4 million at this place when they could have spent $1 million and left and gone to the next place. But it was so good that they earned another $3 million. Everybody goes back to. Did I mention it's the Marriott Hotel in Desert in Palm Desert? You need to go there, and while you're there, go to the Ace Hotel and eat at the restaurant. The food's amazing.
All right, so let's talk about our worst customer experiences.
Yeah, let's talk about this TV, for example. We just ordered it on Amazon.
It wasn't Prime.
No, it wasn't Prime. So they charge you for the thing, and they forgot to ask for a couple of things like our phone number. And a place where they could get a hold of us.
No, they had our phone number.
Oh, they just showed...
They didn't have our email address.
Got it.
Or, I mean, sorry. They had our email address. They didn't have our phone number. And it was supposed to be delivered September 2nd.
And our wonderful producer said, where's the TV? Where's the TV? He's like a little kid.
Hey, guys,
are we there yet?
Just FYI, it still hasn't arrived.
Well, let's tell, for those that are listening only, we are getting this studio prepared for video. And so there's a monitor now.
You can't
behind
see
you
the
can't
TV.
See the TV, but it's
the coolest
so
freaking TV
cool.
on the planet. But we had to badger people to deliver what we bought. And they didn't really care.
No, they didn't. I called them and I asked, you know, so I've emailed you guys. I still haven't heard back. My TV was supposed to be delivered 5 days ago. Where is it? Oh, ma'am, we totally understand.
Yeah, now...
Really? You understand? I needed TV 5 days ago. What do you understand? That I didn't get it?
So in your minds, what is the definition of bad customer service?
People that don't give a shit. People that think that, you know, they become blasé in their job. They don't really care about themselves. They don't really care about their company. Their management mistreats them, and they take it out on customers.
When someone loves to serve, you can feel it. Everything they do comes from that vantage point. And when they don't really give a shit, you can also feel it.
Of course.
And this guy did not care that we didn't have our TV.
One day, as you know, if you read my Wikipedia page, I've had some run-ins with airlines.
Really?
And one day I sat down, and instead of being pissed off at somebody who's pretty much helpless, I just tweeted, you can learn a lot about business by watching the airlines and how to succeed in business by watching the airlines. Whatever they do, do the opposite. And I just tweeted
hashtag
it out.
Hashtag American Airlines? Or
hashtag
like...
all of them. Hashtag it doesn't matter. Hashtag American Airlines. Well, it was U.S. Airways time. Yeah, they've since merged. Two crappy airlines got together to form a huge crappy airline. And my slogan, you know their slogan, we're not satisfied until you're not satisfied.
It's amazing how big of a difference service can make. Like you're saying, this company that you did their seminar for kept going back to that hotel.
Yeah, they couldn't help it.
And other hotels don't realize that they're losing so much long-term potential revenue because they give crappy service.
Hotels are in the service business. There's one place where hotel service is the worst on the planet.
Where is that?
Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah. They don't give a shit.
They don't. They literally... There's two kinds of people in Vegas, high rollers and dirt balls. So raise your hand if you're a high roller. And if you're not, you're a dirt ball. And they don't, you know, you could bring 1,000 people to a meeting. They don't, you're a dirtball.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care. They only care if you gamble. Anyway, and they won't do things like go get your luggage if you're not in your room. Like, yeah, seriously?
They won't drop it off to your room.
They won't do anything.
Some sort of stupid policy.
And,
exactly.
And a lot of that is probably based in demand. I mean, there are a lot of people. Customer service is not going to be the big differentiator in those instances. But in instances where customer service can be a differentiator, you have to be on your game.
Yeah, that's very true. Fast food restaurants, it doesn't matter. You can... You know, but
you
Chick-fil-A.
Notice the second someone is serving you well. We got Chick-fil-A yesterday. We did a whole catering order, and the guy wanted to bring it out to our car, and we were in the drive-thru. I mean, this guy really loved his job.
So that's about all we have for service. Good,
for
bad,
now.
Or ugly, it exists.
For now.
And your job is, you know, in the early days of customer service, if you did something great, they told 10 people. If you did something crappy, they sold 50 people. Today, they tell 50 million people. It's on TripAdvisor. It's in every rating service. Go to Amazon.com, rock the house, tell people what a piece of crap it was, and hashtag their name. Now, we're going to take a break for a minute or so. H.A. Thompson, who's out in the green room at this very moment, will join us next to talk about his history in radio, his revolutionary customer service techniques, and much, much more. But first, here is a clip from Jen's amazing series, Sales in a New York Minute. Stay tuned.
Service matters. Or better yet, your service matters. Outstanding, personal, and friendly customer service is underrated, and sometimes it's lost as a priority. When you consider how automated and computerized the global market has become, it's a tragedy for big business, but it's a huge opportunity for you. Providing personalized and memorable customer service is one of the few controllable variables in your business. You may not be able to control what caused the mistake or an error, but you have 100% control over how you respond and how you recover. Fast response, helpful information, and courteous demeanor give you the ability to fix a mistake beyond the customer's expectations. Great service will help you gain a competitive advantage, and it'll earn you a great reputation by both word of mouth and word of mouse. Oh, and by the way, it leads to genuine customer loyalty. Service matters, and memorable service wins every time. The quality of yours will lead you to keep the customer or lose the customer in a New York Minute.
Love those New York Minutes, Jen. Can you tell our listeners where they can find more as if they couldn't figure it out?
Just go to YouTube and search for Sales in a New York Minute.
Uh-huh.
But you can also find me on Instagram. I just posted a behind-the-scenes photo of what our new studio is looking like at Jen in a NY Minute.
Uh-huh.
And basically, I'm everywhere on social media, Jen in a NY Minute.
What's your last name, Jen?
New York Minute.
No. People can search for you by Jennifer Gluckow, can't they?
Yes, they can. You can't see the screen, but right up behind us, it does say my last name, Jen
Gluckow.
Okay,
cool. Yeah. 28 years ago, I was driving around Charlotte and listening to talk radio, and it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon or thereabouts, and I listened to this guy on WBT, H.A. Thompson, and I knew he wouldn't last on radio because he had an opinion. And in Charlotte, you're not allowed to have an opinion. He began his legendary career in the 70s. Mm-hmm. Was anyone alive? Oh, wait. You and I were alive.
There were no skyscrapers.
There were no skyscrapers in Charlotte. That's correct. The biggest building here was a Pizza Hut.
something like that.
And so we have a little clip.
One of the hotels that wouldn't let you in.
Right, exactly.
That's what it
was. We have a little clip of H.A. Thompson from the 70s that we're going to play right now.
H.A. Thompson. Woo! Some more wine on BT the Raider.
And it's some country wine.
1035 H.A. Thompson Showtime at your radio station WBT.
WBT. H.A. Thompson.
Sounds like Charlotte.
So there you have what H.A. Thompson used to be like. He did something in my opinion that took a lot of guts. He realized that talk radio in Charlotte was not going to be his never-ending career. He's got a family. He needs to raise the family and support the family. So he starts the limousine business, Rose Limousine. And Rose Limousine was built on ass-kissing customer service that had at its forefront the great H.A. Thompson. And he calls me one day. He goes, guess what, Jeffrey? I said, what? He said, some lady came to get a limo for the prom. And while she was getting the sales pitch, I went out and washed her car.
and she hadn't signed the contract.
I haven't introduced you yet.
Oh,
but
you
go ahead.
She hadn't signed the contract.
Yeah.
And I washed her car because it was nasty.
Right.
And she walked out and she stood and looked and she went like that. She said, oh, my gosh, who washed my car? I said, well, it's just part of our service. She turned around, walked back to my son, Andy, and signed the contract for the wedding, and she was a customer.
Cool.
That is
just
amazing.
Reaching
How
out.
Many people do you think she told about washing
exactly.
her car?
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Exactly. It's just doing the little things.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I had a pickup of a executive. He was president of Sealand.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted a pickup at 5:30 in the morning. It was dark. It was a winter. And the car I was using was dirty on the outside. And I met my wife for dinner about 8:30, 9 o'clock. And I said, listen, I got to go by the office and just clean the car because I don't feel right picking him up. I thought it'd be okay in the dark. He wouldn't notice. I washed the car in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, went home, got up early, picked him up, got there about 5:15, 5:20, and waited and waited and waited. He finally came out, and the first thing he got in the car, and it was dark except for the light in his front yard. And he said, boy, this car is clean and shiny.
Uh-huh.
Cool.
And I said, wow.
Exactly.
I almost goofed.
Yeah.
Because it's easier to lay back and not do the small things. Not do the small things.
So you have, you built a pretty big limousine company.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't built on low prices, was it?
Not at all.
No. How come?
Because people are willing to pay for service.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the most expensive deli in town, Dean and DeLuca?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is the food quality?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, always.
Is it delicious?
Oh, yeah.
Is it? Oh.
Yeah, I know. And you see all the snooty people in there.
Yeah. What's that fish? That Chilean sea bass is $43 a pound, and it's prepared cooked.
It's New York prices.
Right.
Jen, you got it.
Yeah. Is.
$43 a pound. Marijuana's cheaper these days.
But
they have great service.
Yeah.
Everyone's friendly.
Mm-hmm.
I know the manager.
Mm-hmm.
Not like it's a big deal, but, you know, I kibitz with the guy when I'm there.
Right.
And every once in a while, he'll give me a little pack of candy for the kid or something, like $9 candy for, you know.
Cost them a nickel.
Right, exactly. But you go there. You repeat go there because of the quality.
Mm-hmm. And they give you that good service. And the thing about it is companies think they give good service. Everybody says they give good service.
Yeah.
Even the airlines advertise it.
Yeah, they give, yeah.
But
the friendly skies of United.
I know how you love the airlines.
I haven't seen the friendly people, but I'm sure they're out there somewhere. They're on the wing or something.
I think you were the only person to be singled out by the president of one of the airlines.
That's correct.
Huh?
That is correct, sir.
And it got you 7 or 8 jobs, probably.
Yeah, it did. Actually, it did.
But I think what people don't realize is they don't understand the definition of service and hospitality. You know what the real definition of hospitality is?
Shoot.
Susan Sergato of Danny Meyer's Restaurants mm-hmm. in New York City
mm-hmm.
said hospitality is the thrill you get out of making the customer happy.
Ooh.
That's a heavy.
That's mm-hmm. a very heavy.
And it's a good one to
And
remember.
I wonder how many of you are thrilled by making your customers happy out there in mm-hmm. podcast land.
And it's so important to take care of your employees. My mantra is how you treat the employees is how they treat the customer. And I think you said that in the beginning of the program.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So let's back up. Mm-hmm. How did you get into radio?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, I walked into the college radio station, St. Lawrence, KSLU, and St. Lawrence is upstate New York, right near the Canadian border.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fun. And after I got out of college and finished the Army, then I went into radio in a small station in Findlay, Ohio. I got a little job there as a morning man. Then I went to Savannah, and I loved Savannah. Then I worked my way into Charlotte, and I said, oh, I like Charlotte. Cool. I worked 3 years at WSOC, and then when WBT went contemporary and broke away from their old format, they hit their stride. And I made a jump across town from SOC to WBT in 1971. And I lasted 19 and a half years until they canned me. And yeah. they changed format and they said, H.A., you did a great job and we thank you and all that
Thanks.
Kind of baloney.
Yeah, here's your lunch.
But 3 years before that, I bought an antique Rolls Royce and did weddings on weekends. And we started the car with one car and then went from there because I knew I was going to get out of radio and I didn't want to go to Pittsburgh and take another radio job. I had three children and they were now 20 and down to age 17 or something like that. And so it evolved into staying in Charlotte because I liked Charlotte, made a lot of friends here. I was 19 and a half years. And so I just took it from there. And I knew the people in the business didn't know what really good service was. I used to listen to Arthur Godfrey on the radio. He was so sincere in his commercials. Mm-hmm. And I tried to emulate that a little bit. And it works in selling. It works in communicating with people, to look them in the eye, like you said, mm-hmm. at the hotel, mm-hmm. and to act like you love your job. Because if you don't love your job, but you act like it, you're probably going to learn to love it mm-hmm. because they're going to reward you with more money, more tips. This guy is great, right?
Let me say something while it's on my mind, because we're going to be talking about tips later on. I walk into here into hotel lobbies, and the people will either say last name or checking in. Those are the or do you have a reservation? Mm-hmm. And I say no, I'm not here to check in. I'm here for my hair transplant. And by the way they react to me, I know whether they get it or they don't get it. Now, couldn't they say to me, "Welcome to this Marriott. I'm the best person to serve you, and you're going to have a memorable stay here."
I know.
If they ever said that, you would...
But they're not trained. They're intimidated.
Correct. Right.
They're not trained.
They don't give a shit. Oh. That's a problem. They don't give a shit. They're underpaid.
Mm-hmm.
They turn over at least once a year.
Right.
And the management doesn't understand how to retain them.
Mm-hmm. But it's ironic because it's your first experience with their brand.
Oh, right. They're paying somebody $10 an hour to guard $20 million.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they don't do a very good job of it. They train them to be robotic about it.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome. Have you been here before? What do you care if I've been here before? I've been in hotels. It's a hotel, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have showers that don't wash the soap off of you and towels that are not good enough to steal.
Yeah, they're too small.
That's
now.
A Marriott, by the way.
Okay, so you have drivers. I assume mm-hmm. you're not the only driver, mm-hmm. person drive. Okay, what's it like having other people responsible for your brand and your reputation? Because they're the first, the person who picks up to make the reservation is mm-hmm. one experience, but then the person who shows up at the client's doorstep is that real experience.
And you have a team behind the driver.
Yeah.
We have dispatchers. Mm-hmm. We're there 24 hours a day now.
Mm.
We have reservationists who talk to the people, take the reservation.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lady that confirms before the ride, the day before or 2 days before, confirms mm. the ride. So you have a chain of people that touch all of it. And one of those five or six people can screw it up.
Right.
If they write 6 p.m. instead of 6 a.m.
Yeah.
That's happened before, hasn't it?
Sure.
Yeah.
I didn't think of it without it happening because it's burned in my memory. but that's all a part of, and then having driver's meetings and go over and over and over, repeat and repeat. And then some drivers leave, you get new drivers, you have to constantly repeat yourself. And you have to build a culture, which we didn't do until a few years ago. But you have to have a culture that has good karma, that works together. And if they like their job and they're not backbiting and gossiping out in the backyard or the back place or the whatever, that culture for the team is really important.
But I think that you were already service-minded and attitude-minded way before that. I think that you already had mm-hmm. the personality. Mm-hmm. You already had the understanding. You already had the drive. You were a host. Mm-hmm. So you had to be kind of nice on the radio mm-hmm. to your callers. You couldn't.
Well, here's the thing. I was raised, you know, I'm an old, old man now. And in 17 and a half years, I'll be 100.
No, here's the deal. We invited him on the show because he's older than me. Not had nothing to do with anything other
but
than
I
the
have
fact
that
I've never
you.
Had
Jeffrey,
anyone here older than me.
Jeffrey Gittimer has asked me at least 4 times to borrow my hair.
But it's true.
But it's when I was raised in the 30s. I was born in 33.
Yeah.
I was raised in the 30s and 40s, and mothers were very concerned about manners mm-hmm. and all of those things. And my mother was there. She wasn't like today. Women work, men work, they put kids in daycare, and that's okay. There's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with that. It's a new, different culture today. But my mother used to brag on me. I had such nice table manners. So she taught me all that service. I used to be a caddy. I used to be a caddy, and that was before golf carts. And well, what I did, people, you know, always take the wrong golf club. You go, I can get there with a 7-iron. No, you can't. Use a 5 and swing easy. And I'd say, use this 5. And they'd take the club and they hit it on the green, and they'd go, God, AJ, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, and my tips were better.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
I got big tips like
imagine
that.
Imagine if you had a Fitbit then.
You know? Yeah. And one of them gave me a tip. He said, get another job.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Stay out of New Jersey.
So we have sales managers who listen to our show. How do you recommend they build that service culture with their reps who are customer facing? What are some things that you've done?
You have managers, don't you, internally?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what do you tell them to do?
I constantly feed them information from newspapers, magazines, people like Jeffrey Gittimer, who speak to these large groups mm-hmm. and hand out all this material and take the little red book of selling mm-hmm. and all those kinds of things. And I say, hey, you see this?
Exactly.
And I feed this stuff on a regular basis. It's really important. And then you were saying, because I'm anxious to show you what happens when you do the job really right.
Mm-hmm.
You won't lose the customer.
Mm-hmm.
And a low-priced competitor will not get the business. Yeah. Because here's somebody, he said, Lisa, this was the customer service rep, just to close the loop on the above outing, I wanted to tell you that it all went very smoothly. The driver, Mike Davis, was professional and thoughtful. We didn't worry about a thing. He made transporting us from point to point seem effortless. He arrived and departed on schedule. We enjoyed having him as a member of our outing. The bus, we appreciated the fact that there were seat belts on this 24-passenger minibus, comfortable seats. Working with you, you were thorough and patient with us as we worked our way through what was, to us, a new process. Thank you. Till our next one.
Cool.
Cool.
Hooray.
Kaboom.
Cool.
Yeah.
Come back.
Yeah.
Now, nobody's going to offer a better deal and get that business.
Correct.
We've got it.
Yeah, we'll save you $50. We'll save you $500.
Nope.
Yeah, exactly.
And what'd she do? She spent 15 minutes writing this.
Oh, easily.
Right. Of course.
Easily.
Yeah.
She was thinking about it,
mm-hmm.
and then she sat down and wrote it, and this is what I tell my people, and I read this stuff to everybody and when we have our meetings and mm-hmm. managers' meetings and different things, or sometimes I hand it out, sometimes I send it on email, and that's the thing. Make them feel important,
mm-hmm.
and people ignore the background people, and they shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
They shouldn't. Everybody, there is no unimportant job. Our porters wash the vehicles in the back.
Yeah.
They are very important. And I thank them very often and that kind of thing.
So you're a little senior. You know, you're on whatever it is, Medicare, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So am I.
Social Security.
Yeah, Social mm-hmm. Security. cheaper.
You take a couple of pills a day.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But you're still, you text.
Oh, listen, I had to catch up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Cool.
And I do. And
you
I'm on Facebook.
Out a smartphone.
Yeah.
Is that an iPhone?
Yeah, it's an iPhone.
Cool. Of course. What do you think?
I don't know, Jeffrey.
Yeah. Cool. Wait, no. There are not very many 80-year-olds that use
exactly.
these things.
There are not many 70-year-olds. Yeah.
Huh?
So, you've taken it upon yourself to keep up.
What?
You've taken it upon yourself to keep up.
Yeah, but a lot of people help me. I just run and say, hey, why is the thing screwed up?
You're right, exactly.
Bail me out of here. It says iCloud something. What do I do with this thing?
Right.
You know, I don't know it all. And I don't know a fraction of what these young whizzes know.
You know what? You don't know it all, but you know enough to run a successful business based on service and repeat business. Mm-hmm. Based on word of mouth, based mm-hmm. on what you do for a customer above and beyond the call of normal.
Yeah. And here's the thing. We used to have limousines. We had an antique Rolls Royce, and then we got a second one and did weddings and weekends, anniversary parties. And then after a while, it started waning. And I thought, we got to get rid of these specialty cars and go more for corporate.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got a stretch limousine, and we had six of them at one time. Then we had five, then four, then three. 5 years ago, we got rid of our last limousine. And because limousines were becoming dinosaurs,
mm-hmm.
and we got into the minibus business, and now we have 20 motor coaches. We only got in the motor coach business in 2008, bought our first one, and the consultants called us a genius. I said, why? He says, because you got in it at the bottom of the barrel
mm-hmm.
and rode it up.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got 20 now. We have major
wow.
corporate
wow.
accounts with motor coaches. We took five motor coaches today to the airport to take the Panthers to the game for flying
Denver.
To Denver tomorrow
yeah.
night.
Cool.
Very
and,
cool.
And we'll go and we pick them up at 3 a.m. Friday morning after the game.
Cool.
And bring them back
cool.
to the stadium, and then they go home.
Wow.
But the thing is, it's seeing the changes and adapting.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to, if you're doing the same thing you did 5 years ago, you're doing something wrong. Something may be right, but there's some things that are wrong. And you got to adapt, change, and we've done that.
Well, if you own a medallion in New York City, you're out. I mean, Uber is in, and here, Uber doesn't matter because the clients who are going to go on Uber
mm-hmm.
aren't your clients.
Not his customer. Yeah.
They're not your clients. Your clients are so loyal to you based on your service.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Love that.
So let's wrap this in a way that is understanding to the customer. In 1948,
I was two years old.
That was the year you got out of jail.
Yeah, that was the year my dad let me come to New Jersey.
I'm from Jersey.
What exit?
Tenafly, New Jersey.
I'm from Alpine.
Alpine?
Yeah.
Wow, up where Frank Sinatra used to sing at the Rustic Cabin.
Exactly.
Englewood Cliffs.
Yeah. So I'm from Philly, exit 4.
That's
but
crazy.
You basically took a flyer when you were 60
mm-hmm.
and you turned it into a multi-million dollar business.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody who's out there who's read Death of a Salesman,
mm-hmm.
that the guy wouldn't change, wouldn't adapt, you need to call H.E. Thompson on the phone and have an interview with him to talk about how to adapt to a society and an economy where friendship rules, where service rules, where price doesn't matter, and repeat business is the foundation of building a multi-million dollar business.
There's so many salesmen. I mean, the whole world lives on salesmen.
Mm-hmm.
And the death of a salesman is, what was the character?
Willie Loman.
And he was a pathetic character. He did his job, but a lot of people do their job 9 to 5. But
he did his job, but he hated it.
Yeah, yeah. And he BS'd himself to believe that he was the greatest, and he really wasn't, and that he liked, you know, he was well known, and nobody gives.
He bought his own bullshit. Basically,
I wanted
happened.
To say that, but yeah. you
he
said
sold
it for
himself.
Me.
Yeah, you know what? No, in radio, you're not allowed to say bullshit. And so he's still adhering to this.
We're rated E.
Yeah.
You can say anything mm-hmm. you want.
Exactly. Rated E for what? Everybody?
Explicit?
Oh, explicit.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
But that's the sad part. And he didn't, I don't know what it was. It's just he was doing something he wasn't really suited for.
Yeah. And wasn't willing to change in order to be able to make his family happy, make his life happy, make anybody happy. And as a result, he's, you know, unfortunately, it's one of those tragic things where he dies penniless in the gutter. But the bottom line is that it's been a book that's it's not a book, it's a play. But I mean, it's iconic in our society.
It is. Yeah. It is. And I think the millennials are changing what selling is about, too. Don't you think?
Yeah, without a doubt.
For sure.
Because they're walking around with their computers and they don't even come out of their shell. and their cell phones and their iPads and doing all this stuff. And they're not, you know, touching people.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the touchy-feely thing is gone.
The look in the eye is gone.
Well, the internet's changed a lot of that. You can totally avoid a salesperson now by going to Amazon or by going to some other website and just buying the product without, you know, go to Zappos or go to Macy's, God forbid.
Hey.
And buy anything you want, or go to Nordstrom. How about that?
That's better. Thanks.
Or Land's End, where we get
department stores are diminishing.
Right.
Yeah.
Unless they have distribution. Macy's will live because they have distribution.
Right.
But the onesie-twosie stores, they're going to die.
Okay. Yep. So before we wrap, if people are in the Charlotte area...
Is that radio talk?
I don't know.
That's hip. That's whatever.
So if people are in the Charlotte area and want to use your services, how do they find you? Where do they go? Who do they call?
Rose Transportation. And our website is www.riderose.com. And our website has a tremendous 31-year story on there about the company and what we do. And you can look
is
up
that
our
three W's in front of that or two W's.
Hey, would you hit him?
I did
for me.
Yeah,
I mean harder than that.
Okay.
Hey, write something on his bald head.
With a Sharpie.
Very good.
Well, okay, so that would be fun.
No, Ride Rose it's on their license plates. It's on, they brand it everywhere. You see guys in the airport holding up the little signs that, you know, to meet people. Their buses are all over town.
And we're getting an app like Uber now. We have it. It's called the Rose app.
Cool.
Okay, cool.
Yep, and it's working and it's starting to grow. And so we've initiated that change to our business.
That is very cool.
Uber, watch out. But you have thrived. You have not a matter of survival. You know how many taxi companies have bit the dust, or limo companies have bit the dust in New York City because there's now more Uber drivers than there are taxi drivers?
But you know what happens to entrepreneurs? Entrepreneurs have a tendency to have this feeling of entitlement, and they take a little more than their share out of the kitty. And you got to stay away from the kitty. You got to build the kitty because our payroll is enormous every 2 weeks, and some of the bills in your insurance are, we have $10 million insurance on our vehicles and all of this stuff. It's $100,000 a year, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You have to keep a nest egg. I've had CPAs come and say, why do you keep so much money in a checking account? I said, go away, will you?
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Don't pester me with your brilliance. Yeah. Because you have to be a bit of a tightwad yourself.
I had my late mentor, the great Earl Portnoy in Miami, was friends with all the other entrepreneurs in the city. And this Wolfie's Delicatessen, if you've ever eaten there, they had consultants come in and said, you're putting too much meat on there. And the guy would say, get out of here. And he said, put more meat on that sandwich. The guy made a fortune.
Sure. Sure.
You know, you can't cut it.
Give them more than they expect.
All right. So, H., it is a pleasure. I want to, first of all, thank you for joining us. I want to, second of all, thank you for your wisdom on customer service and customer loyalty. We're going to take a few minutes to say goodbye to HA. In the meantime, I want you to sit back and enjoy more wisdom that I learned from a mutual friend of ours, the great Ty Boyd. This clip is from the book of Customer Service, which you can find exclusively on the Gittimer Learning Academy. Take a listen. I attended a mentor seminar at Ty Boyd
called The Spirit of Customer Service. I thought I was going to get a great lesson from a great speaker. I was wrong. I got an unbelievable series of lessons from a master presenter. I was rewarded with more than 100 rules, lessons, and examples of what to do and what not to do in the never-ending quest to serve and preserve the customer. How do you lose customers? Well, Ty offered the 7 deadly sins of service. Number 1, putting money or profits ahead of service. Number 2, complacency brought about by success, getting fat and happy. Number 3, organizational layering without creating teamwork, people blaming others or whining, it's not my job. Number 4, lack of proper employee training, recognition, or retention. Number 5, not listening, anticipating the answers before hearing the situation. Number 6, isolationism, not paying attention to the customer or the competition. Number 7, lip service, or worse, lying. Now, you've probably been victims of every one of these sins at one time or another. Yet, if I ask you if you commit any of these, you'll say no. Guess what? Somebody's either lying or living in fantasy land. Customer service is a complex and critical issue to the ongoing success of any business. It's easy to go astray without guidelines and standards. So let me share some of Ty Boyd's wisdom about customer service. Satisfactory customer service is no longer acceptable. Customer service begins at 100%. The customer's perception is your reality. A mistake is a chance to improve the company. Problems can create beneficial rearrangements. Make the customer feel important. Learn how to ask questions. The most important art in service is the art of listening. Ty spoke in detail about refining the skill of listening. It's a vital key in the customer service process. As salespeople, you're prone to talk way too much. Sometimes you lose sales and customers because you fail to hear their true needs or desires. Ty offered the following rules to maximize your listening skills and increase customer loyalty. Number 1, don't interrupt, but. Number 2, ask questions, then be quiet. Concentrate on really listening. Number 3, prejudice will distort what you hear, so listen without prejudging. Number 4, don't jump to answer before you hear the entire situation. Number 5, listen for purpose, details, and conclusions. Number 6, active listening involves interpreting. Number 7, listen to what is said and what is not said, because what is implied is often more important than what is spoken. Number 8, think between sentences. Number 9, digest what is said and not said before engaging your mouth. And number 10, demonstrate that you're listening by taking action. It sounds pretty simple. Well, actually, it is pretty simple. Just focus on it.
We pulled that snippet from the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's GittimerLearningAcademy.com. And if you'd like to hear more from that section or any and all sales subjects, just visit the GittimerLearningAcademy.com for more information to set up a free demo. That's right. Jamie will personally give you a demo of the Learning Academy. All right. Let's talk about that amazing talk we just had with H.A. Thompson.
Well, he is legendary in terms of his radio reputation in Charlotte. I mean, he was literally the afternoon voice of Charlotte talk radio. He had all kinds of callers from all kinds of walks of life, and he engaged everybody in a brilliant conversation in the afternoon. I called in. I mean, how I got to know him was by calling into his show. And
did you give him a hard time?
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, that's...
shocking.
Yeah, but he's from New Jersey. He gave it right back. And that, literally, that's... And then we met one day at a networking event, and we became friends.
That's real cool.
But the challenge for him is he saw his own handwriting on the wall that says, I can't do this anymore. And he went out and built a successful business based on what he knew to be true. Serve others in a memorable way, and they will come back and pay your price.
Mm-hmm.
What more could you ask for in that particular environment? I mean, he's just an absolute amazing guy. And could he be any nicer?
No,
he's
incredible.
Exactly.
And he's funny.
Well, he's not that funny.
He's pretty funny, Jeffrey.
He
has
is
some
funny,
competition.
Yeah. Well, huh?
Sorry to break it to you.
Yeah, he's funny. Yeah, I agree. He's funny.
Well, he's a great example of adapting to new technology and not necessarily, he wasn't necessarily adapting to new technology all the time. He's asking people for help.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
that's so key.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's showing you that he's willing to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, he read from like a McGuffey's reader. I mean, here's a guy who has, you know, he came up.
What's that? Is that like Dick and Jane or something?
No, it preceded Dick and Jane.
Oh.
Hey, so you mentioned Apple in that interview. Are you guys caught up on all of the Apple?
Yeah.
Apples
yeah. I can't wait to get the 7 on the 16.
I don't know what to do. They took away the headphone thing.
Right.
That's okay.
Are you going to be okay with that?
I don't know if I'm going to be okay with it or not. I can just picture myself on a conference call. And the battery runs out on my Bluetooth headphones.
Yeah.
Are they going to make them to
work? You can
probably
go like on speakerphone at that point on your phone.
Oh, yeah. When I think of that, you probably could. I don't know. You know, people will bitch about it.
It's not the same for sure. But
yeah, they're only going to sell a few hundred million phones.
Well, here's the thing we were talking about earlier. It's such a drastic change. And when the whole flash thing started, no one really knew that was the end of flash. Now you look back and you're like, oh.
I can tell you this. Headphone manufacturers all over the world just had a shit fit. And and they're going to...
Or the good ones are really excited about this change because everyone needs to go out and buy new headphones.
Yeah, the good ones, I think, heard enough of the rumors that they're probably transitioning their business.
Or Apple called them and said, dudes, get some...
Yeah, well, exactly.
Yeah. Well, this has been like a rumor for a while that they were going to go all
true.
Bluetooth.
Yeah. So I'll buy a new one. I'm getting a 7S.
I can't wait.
I'm going to call my AT&T guy tomorrow and get my order in. They probably won't deliver
until
October.
Put an order in for HA, too.
You're going to order a new one? No, HA.
All right. So we're introducing a new segment this week.
What's it called?
It's called Your Weekly Sales Agenda.
It's
where Jeffrey and I give you some things we think you should pencil into your sales agenda this week. Jeffrey, you're up first.
My suggestion to everyone in the audience is every single day, make one customer feel amazing. Now, if you do it for the first week or so, it's only 5 customers, not much is going to happen. But I promise you, if you make one customer feel amazing every single day, at the end of a year, if you only work a 5-day week, you've made 250 customers feel amazing. And I promise that they've told other people, I promise they've stuck it on your Facebook, and I promise they've given you reorders. At the end of 5 years, you're now in the thousands of people that you've made feel amazing, and you will do nothing but build your business by word of amazing, by word of memorable, by word of mouth, and by word of mouse.
That's a good idea, Jeffrey.
Thanks, honey. That's why they pay me the big money.
All right, so to proceed your idea, I want everyone to pencil in time on their agenda this week.
Look, they have our name up there.
I know. It's very cool.
I know.
Queen of sales. Huh?
I know.
I should be girl king. But anyway.
Again, for the listeners, we're testing out some graphics now. So
oh, my God.
Jennifer
this is the graphic test portion of our show.
Thirds.
For those of you listening
at
home.
You can't see this really cool thing yet.
You can't see jack
you
shit,
see it,
but
you're
we can.
Be blown away because
exactly.
we are.
Exactly.
So, okay.
That's the wonderful Doug Branson, right? The self-proclaimed
wonderful.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Exactly.
I would call him amazing like you did, but anyway. So,
Mr. Wonderful.
No, that's bad. We don't like Mr. Wonderful on Shark Tank. He's like mean.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't watch Shark Tank.
Okay. So, what I want you guys to do this week is for 30 minutes to an hour every single day, put time on your calendar to think about how you're going to serve your customers better. Come up with a plan for how you're going to serve your customers and wow your customers. And then go to Jeffrey's idea and actually implement it.
I like it. So now what's next?
Well, you can tune in each episode for more items to put on your sales agenda. We'll be bringing this segment back. So make sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. Just search Sell or Die, and we're going to help you close out your sales week strong.
Are we answering any questions or anything this week? What's going on?
Absolutely. Well, listen, we do it every show, and that's because the listener out there, they're very important to us. The questions are very important to us.
The weirdo name people on Reddit?
Just as a reminder, you can email your questions directly to our producer, Doug, at sellordie@gittimer.com.
Very important. Yes, we did pull these particular questions from reddit.com/r/sales. The first question coming to us from Curcio GM, and Curcio GM writes, "We have two phone blocks a week when we call upon our prospects and try to set appointments. We call upon the same people over and over, and the only reason we have to call upon them is to offer a free consultation with their current program. These people have been getting this same call since 2008 when we started offering it. I'm not new to sales. The rejection from the prospects doesn't bother me. What bothers me is wasting their time and ruining relationships because of some archaic metric I'm supposed to meet. What do I do about calling these same people over and over?"
Change jobs.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah,
short of a giant career move that could break up his family, what could this person
do? No, I'm not saying to...
This sounds crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
This sounds totally nuts.
Or maybe offer some ideas about getting new lists, or maybe offer some new ideas about how to get referrals or how to earn referrals from existing customers. There's all kinds of things you can do if you want to, but it doesn't sound like your company even wants to. Go find another job.
All right, next question comes from Ninjas12. Ninjas12 writes, "I sell supplements at a stand in Costco. Most of the rejections I get are, I'll think about it or I'll come back later. How do I draw them back in?"
Well, are you getting their email address or their phone number so you can text them? Are you giving them a free sample so you can follow up with them to see if...
If he's at Costco, I'm pretty sure it's a free sample. I hope it's a free sample. That's what I live and breathe on.
I know people have their entire lunch at Costco.
Delicious.
On the free samples?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
All the people in Florida do that. You don't know about this?
I'll have to go in there.
It's like a thing.
I'll have to go in there once. But I think that... I actually just was in Sam's. I got that Fitbit at Sam's.
Yeah.
But I think that if you're trying to get people to buy something from you, the first thing you have to do is engage them. Don't say, "Here's this pill." Say, "What are you currently taking? And how's that affecting what you're wanting to do? And what are you doing with that extra 50 pounds? Where are you putting it? And, you know, would you like to lose something, feel better, whatever the pill does?" And then offer it to them and say, "Look, we have an introductory special. If you get this, you also get this." So give them some incentive to buy the first pack.
If everyone is saying they have to think about it, you're not giving them enough to think about.
Exactly. That's my sentiment. Exactly, Jennifer. I'm sick of these people wanting to think about it. Okay.
Right. Any more, Doug?
Yeah, last one. Here's a fun one, guys. Well, it might not be fun for Jake Fly, who writes, "I lost my voice to the point of sounding like a 60-year-old chain smoker in the morning and can't talk at all by late afternoon. I lost it by a combination of having a cold and having to talk at a lot of events recently. I have to go to work tomorrow morning and make 100 calls. Does anyone here have any experience or tips for me?"
Stop drinking.
Stop smoking.
No, he wasn't smoking. He said it was a cold and he talked at a lot of events. He sounds like a 60-year-old chain.
Okay, so here's what the deal is. I could tell you what to do because I've had two throat operations myself, so I'm going to give you genuine advice. Seek professional help. Go to a throat doctor. Don't ask somebody on the radio what to do. Ask somebody who does throats all the time. My doctor was an eye, ear, nose, throat, and wallet man. but he was the best doctor in the world. They operated on my throat twice. I got my voice returned. And you need to seek professional help. Whatever city you're in, I will guarantee you that there's five amazing throat doctors, and you got to find one of them. Go tomorrow.
You know, we can relate to this. When you're on the road and you have to give a talk, and you have to give the talk, these people are there to see you or me or whoever the speaker is, and all of a sudden you have no voice. Ever happen?
Sure.
Happened to me too. And you have to figure it out.
Right.
And
well, there's a way to figure it out, but I'm not going to tell you
what's your secret?
Well,
no, you can't. It involves a prescription. It involves a prescription. It's a very legal thing.
There are medications that can help.
I can tell you this. If your nose is dripping, the first thing you got to do is get it to stop dripping. So do Flonase. Mm-hmm. That I can tell you to do because it's now an over-the-counter thing. And once you have a dry throat, then you have to stop it from being swollen. It's not sore. It's swollen. Your vocal folds are swollen. Go see a doctor.
Yeah, we're not doctors.
Well, go see.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, seek professional help. We are not.
Seek professional
help. Just like disclaimer
exactly.
at the bottom. Yeah.
But, like if you're a nut, guys, don't ask me what your nuttiness is about. See a psychiatrist.
You guys bring up a good point that if you're a salesperson, your voice is your instrument.
Exactly.
And you have to take care of it. Otherwise, that's mm-hmm. money. Your
That's
voice
correct.
Is your money.
My voice is my money. That's
mm-hmm.
correct.
Me too. Yeah.
And while you're at it, you might want to learn how to breathe properly, because if you speak from your diaphragm and not from your vocal cords or your vocal folds, your voice will save itself.
I have an amazing coach who teaches how to breathe properly. Her name's Minna Taylor. And if anyone's interested in her information, you just email sellerdie@kinmer.com.
And we will get it to you.
We will send you her info.
I want to, yeah, you definitely, everyone needs someone to teach them how to keep breathing. That's we're all searching for.
That's one of the,
all searching for a way.
One of the big two or three.
Breathing while speaking.
Yeah.
No,
breathing,
not
eating.
Just breathing. We hope you know how to do that by now.
Exactly.
If you're listening to us.
Breathing, listening, breathing, eating, and sleeping. And then, of course, sell or die.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are the big four.
All right. So, thank you. Thank you all for listening to the Sell or Die podcast. Tune in next week for a great conversation with Ben Prusky, founder of Freedom Merchants. He's going to talk about problem solving.
And credit cards, processing.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he do.
Bookmark blogtalkradio.com/sellordie and come join the conversation that's revolutionizing sales podcasting.
Thank you to our guest, the great H.A. Thompson. Our producer is Doug Branson. Our technical director is Chris Hill, both of which worked their asses off for this show today.
And every day. Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you to get out there and sell until your ass falls off.